Well, good morning again. Great to have you in God's house at this early hour. So we are continuing following Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, the action-packed gospel. And this morning we're looking at seeing beyond the stone. And I will remind you that it's our Easter tradition that the message is in two parts. So this is part one. The second part is at the traditional service. And we are looking at seeing beyond the stone. We're in Mark chapter 16. Verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they may go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid them. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at seeing beyond the stone. Well, it was last August, and I had promised my daughter for the longest time that we were going to go to a Cubs game. Man, can you believe I went that long without taking my daughter to a Cubs game? I couldn't either. And so, as I got ready to do that, get tickets, I remembered that my good friend Paul House said the cheapest and best tickets you can find are in StubHub. You can get them at the last minute. I thought to myself, that's me. So I got on StubHub, and I found the cheapest tickets. And I saw on the cheapest ticket, it said, restricted view. And I thought to myself, what does restricted view mean? So I started looking up on the internet, and I found out, believe it or not, from looking on the internet, that Terrace Section 231, if you know that, if you're a Cubs fan, has one of the worst seating sections in all of baseball. In fact, someone said in Section 231, Row 26, I think it was Seat 7, they said, terrible seats, cheap, but close to the bar. Guess I know why they went to the baseball game. Well, we wanted to see the game, so we got unrestricted view tickets. So it cost us 10 bucks more, but it was worth it. But it reminds me that sometimes in life we have a restricted view, blocked or partially blocked. And it also reminds me that Easter morning began with a restricted view, with a blocked view, with the stone in front of the tomb. And I invite you to walk back into this story this morning. We're told that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, Mark and Salome in there, were on their way to the tomb. And John tells us that it began when it was still dark, and dawn broke as they were on the way to the tomb, just like many of you this morning. Man, isn't it good to know that there's a special blessing for people who start out when it's dark and dawn is breaking? For me, I was so thankful that Dunkin' Donuts was open this morning. We weren't sure if they were going to be open, but it was still dark when we rolled into Dunkin', and they opened at 5 a.m. I said, thank you so much for getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Mary, and Salome had no Dunkin' Donuts, but they had the kind of faith that set forth in the dark. And dawn broke as they were on the way, and they began to discuss what are they going to do about the stone, because they were there going to anoint Jesus' body. But isn't it interesting that these women, while the disciples slept in, go ahead, women, look at each other. The women got up early while it was still dark, and dawn broke where they were on the way while the disciples were sleeping in. Just saying, it's true. So, but a special blessing for those who get up when it's dark and the dawn breaks. And as they were talking about the stone that blocked their view, they realized when they got there that the stone had been rolled away. But I think it's good to pause just and think about that moment, that these ladies had the kind of faith the kind of sort of exuberance, if you will, or at least had the faith to get out there and take step by step the journey to the tomb, even though they knew the stone was blocking the view. And I think that is so, so powerful. And when you think about it this morning, there's a stone often that blocks our view. And for these women, there were a number of stones. First of all, there was the stone of what? Of fear. It says they were afraid. In fact, it even says that their response after seeing the angel was they trembled, right? They weren't sure what was going on. They knew there were Romans who wanted to kill them. They knew that their lives were threatened, and there are so many things to be afraid of in life. And of course, they started out in the dark. That took a certain courage for these women to go, three of them on their way in the dark. They had a bit of a journey to go outside of Jerusalem to the place where this took place. There could have been robbers and all kinds of things, and yet they had the kind of faith and the kind of fortitude that drove them forward to that. And they were rewarded for that because there was an angel there. And the angel, just so we understand, the stone wasn't rolled away so that Jesus could get out. That was no problem for Jesus, for the risen Lord. The stone was rolled away so the women could see in. The stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could come out. The stone was rolled away so the women, and later the disciples who woke up after the women told them, could see in. And I think many ways that's the same in our lives today. That God is about working miracles and has angels there to whisper to us and sometimes even shout to us. But we have to have the faith to see beyond the stone. And these ladies did. They saw beyond the stone of grief in their lives and fear. And so there's fear and then there's grief, and these ladies were grieving. And a lot of us out there, I know, have the stone of grief as well as the stone of fear in our lives. And you may have lost a loved one, and we hold on to the Easter story, and so they grieve. And even though they were grieving, they had the faith to move forward, the faith and the fortitude to move forward. And when they got there, they heard the angel say, "He is not here, he is risen." Man, those are powerful words, aren't they? And even today, the Christian tradition is, if I say, "Christ is risen," you say, "He is risen indeed." And if I say, "He is risen indeed," you say, "Christ is risen." You guys are good at that. And so that tradition came from this very moment. And so in that moment, touched with fear and touched with grief, they're touched. And it's interesting, isn't it? That it says, and Mark has a remarkable word there. It says trembling and bewildered. Do you wonder what bewildered is? Man, what is bewildered right in that moment? The angels are there, and I actually think it's one of the, and I say worst translations because I love Bruce Metzger, who's in charge of this, but it's not the best translation is what I'm going to say. So I'll tell you what it is in Greek, and I bet you know what it is in English. It's estasis in the Greek. So what is it in English? I know it's early. Estasis. That's right, English people. Ecstatic. It's ecstatic. They were ecstatic. That's what they were. Sorry, Bruce Metzger, you missed that one. Well, and I like him. But they were estasis. They were ecstatic. They were amazed with wonder. They didn't have it all figured out, but they knew this was amazing. This was wonderful. This was incredible. So these women had a mix of kind of fear and trembling and this ecstatic, amazed wonder in their life, and they were still kind of gripped with fear. And aren't we all sometimes facing death and facing the unknown? Because it says also there was the stone of doubt. Not just for them, especially when the disciples, because the ladies went and told them. Now, their disciples slept in, so, you know, they weren't there at that moment, but they came running later when the women told them. But they wrestled with doubt. And in all of us, I think, if we're honest in some moment of our life, we wrestle with that. We say to ourselves, is this news too good to be true? Is this news too good to be true? But we have so much to stand on. First of all, no one doubts that there's an empty tomb. That's why the stone was rolled away. Not so Jesus could come out, but so that we could see in with these women and later the disciples that came. And so many people saw Jesus down the road. And I love what the promise of the angel is. Did you catch hold of that? I want to read it to you again. It says here, "He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So you notice, it isn't just he went. The tense there actually in the Greek is a continuing sense. He is going ahead of you. And isn't that beautiful? He is going ahead of you. Doesn't matter if the stone in your life is fear, or the stone in life is grief, or the stone is the doubt that you're wrestling with you. He is going ahead of you just as he told you, just as he promised. Wherever you're going in life, starting out in the dark, the dawn is breaking because that's the way faith works so often, struggling with doubt. And he's there as dawn breaks because you know the promise of Jesus is he is going ahead of you just as he told you. We have a whole host of disciples as well as all the saints of Christendom to stand on their shoulders as well. Mark risked his life writing this gospel. He wrote the first gospel. Of course, there was Matthew and Luke to come and John, but the whole Christian family of faith, many of them gave their lives because they believed so strongly in the faith. And many of us have been touched by lives or maybe experiences even, sort of the whisper of one who's gone before or even the breath of Jesus himself. I've been in hospital rooms where people are in their last moments and they sort of catch a glimpse of the angel or Jesus coming to take them from this life to next as Jesus goes ahead of them with them down the road. But it's also great, not just saints of the church, but scientists too. One of the great scientists, a nuclear physicist by the name of Faraday, you may know him, Michael Faraday, was lying on his deathbed and some reporters came to him and they knew that he had a very, very strong faith. And they said, what do you think about the speculation you have of the resurrection? And he said, speculation? He says, I have certainties. He said, I know that my Lord liveth, and so will I. Because he lives, so will I. And I think that's the kind of faith that you and I can have on Easter morning as we sometimes struggle with the stone of fear and struggle with the stone of grief and struggle with the stone of doubt because everything changes in that moment. Where are you and what stone is blocking your view this morning where you need to maybe walk in the dark as the dawn breaks in your life? Maybe it's the stone of fear, whatever things are fearful in your life. The unknown so often makes us fearful. Or maybe it's the stone of grief that you're wrestling with the loss of a loved one or illness, or so many things that we grieve about, not just at the moment, but sometimes the chapters of life bring us back there, and we think about it Easter morning. Or maybe it's the stone of doubt. We all struggle with doubt, but you know, doubt also leads us to deeper faith. It did with these ladies. It did with the disciples. It has with so many other people in life, because sometimes doubt strips aside all of the sort of the superficial things and has us take a deeper dive into faith. I'm going to close with this thought, which is that the thing about the stone being rolled away is the voice of the angel and the voice that we can hear whispered today or even shouted today, because one word can change everything. It's a true story of when Napoleon's armies were sweeping through Europe and the people in England were so worried. And Wellington, their general, had gone forth into Europe with the British armies, and the people waited, and they waited at night for the semaphore, for the message to come across with light signals, but like so often the English Channel, the fog was really dense, and so they couldn't see very well, and so the word that came across by light flashing by semaphore was Wellington defeated, and the crowd just was so downcast. But then the fog began to clear, and the message came again, which was Wellington defeated the enemy. Wellington defeated the enemy. And that changed everything. It turned to jubilation. And so it sometimes rides on one word. In this case, he is risen. He is risen changes everything. So whatever stone is blocking your view, look at the bright promise of the Easter dawn sun this morning and hear the whisper of the angel. He is not here, he is risen. And that will help you see beyond the stone of fear and grief and doubt and whatever you're wrestling with. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Well, join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the glory and promise of Easter. Lord, we know that you know that in our lives, just like these women and just like the disciples, we wrestle with so many stones that block our view. But we're thankful that as we take a step in the dark, that the dawn breaks forth and light shines forth, and your light and love come to us and change everything. So thank you for the promise that we too can see beyond the stones of grief, the stones of fear, and the stones of doubt, and whatever blocks our view, because you, in fact, are risen. And all God's people said, amen.